God is now restoring to his church, to his people, to those which consented. He's restoring to us this knowledge for our joy that we can endure the greatest time of history, of the world, called the end times, which we're living in. The contradiction is twofold more than it was in the beginning. The availability, the technology and the exposure is greater now than it was 2,000 years ago. So the grace of God is increasing towards us, even the greater works of the Spirit and these end times is greater than that which was in the former times, okay, of the first eighth week. Okay, so have your Bibles open to the Gospel of John, first of all, and we're going to warm up right there. Can hear Jesus again is speaking to his apostles regarding the things which he was expounding upon. Of course, in that way he says, these things have I spoken unto you. Okay, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, so while Jesus is saying right here is, I have followed a divine pattern in word and in deed. That which was sealed in the Father's heart, or the Father's bosom, to be made known to you by myself, as I promised. So these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. Okay, that which was communicated within the Father's bosom is now affirmed in the state of the conscience in this dimension of the flesh. Okay, that which was first inscribed in the Father's heart in the kingdom of fire is now being made known through the lips of our Father, which is in a form of the flesh called Jesus Christ, the dimensions of these waters. So good to make a few notes there regarding that. Nay, that's what he talks about, the joy. Okay, this is the intended purpose and the intended product, okay, of this inscription. I'll write my laws in their mind and put them in their hearts. And of course, through this form of inscription, I will be their God and they shall be my people. And because of the presence of this inscription of the word, I will forgive their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I'll remember no more. So we can see that through this form of adoption, something is being birthed within you that removes the testimony of Satan in your heart or in your soul. It removes the face of Satan in your heart. So these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, you can hide the word joy there, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. Okay, now he says here, that might be full. He's not talking about that which is in part or in types and shadows, but by my perfection. That's what Jesus says. In the third day, I shall be perfected. Remember, Jesus was speaking about that. In the third day, I shall be perfected, which has to do with that. Now, I'll be in the position of this fullness in order to provide you these tokens for your joy to be full. So these things have I spoken unto you. This is the form of communication which began in the dimension of my Father, as that is that of the crystal sea in my Father's bosom, is now being inscribed within your own heart and soul. Okay, the Spirit of grace was awakening the conscience for this form of reciprocation. A power was accompanying the knowledge. How God anointed Jesus in Nazareth, the Holy Ghost with the power. Okay, so we can see that the anointing is a power that accompanies the knowledge for the purpose of this witness, for the confirmation of that which was inscribed in the Father's heart, now being inscribed in yours. So this is a match, not a mismatch. Okay, when we came into this dimension, the waters, we became a mismatch, okay, because we were those which consented to this to the plan, but being in this dimension, we were walking in the ignorance of this until the light of his grace pointed this out to us. We did not know until the light of his grace pointed these things out for us. So these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, so I had the word joy there. Okay, now as you hide the word joy, of course he mentions it twice there, but he's going to explain this. Okay, Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, is now going to explain this mystery. He's going to unfold this mystery to his apostles, which when we read about in the book of Colossians here, the Apostle Paul expounds on these things. Okay, so these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That is, of course, that this record now will be seen. The intended end product of my record will be seen in you, apart from any aspiration of man, so that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, the word remain there has to do with the word rooted, and which has to do with fruit bearing. Okay, being rooted within him, now we bear forth fruit unto his kingdom. Now this is my commandment. See this in verse 12 now. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the Lord is speaking here. He says, my ordered activity must be expressed this way. This is my reflection. My ordered activity must be expressed this way, which means what Jesus is saying, this power exists not in the flesh. So the greater power is not in man. It doesn't exist in man. It doesn't exist in imagination. It doesn't exist in the signature of man. Okay, so the imagination of man cannot comprehend this. The imagination of man cannot initiate this. The imagination will be subdued by the greater power, faith. Okay, so faith is replacing the imagination, as truth is replacing the principle and the joy of the Lord. Okay, is your true aspiration of life. Okay, not the joy of man, but the joy of the Lord is your true aspiration. You're inclined now to follow that pattern. Greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So this power exists not in the flesh, but in me, which Jesus is saying. Okay, but in me, which issues this power. So we must put aside, one must put aside his own will. That is, the light of the letter must grow dim for the true light of the word to be seen. So greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now Jesus is going to relate to them what a true friend is. He says, you are my friends. And that's kind of interesting. Okay, because now he's bringing the relationship along from that which is the slavery of the law to the freedom of grace. Now in the freedom of grace, we are his friends. But in the slavery of the law, okay, we remain ignorant, not knowing the will of our Father. So the law never gave man enlightenment to the will of God. Okay, all the law did was charge man with folly. Okay, it charged him with this conviction that his conscience was darkened and he was estranged from God. He was alienated from the covenant of God through the imagination. Okay, but now we can see that something is filling the breach here. And this is Jesus, the mediator of our profession. So greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So as the signature grows dim, and because of the light of his grace, the true light of the word now is seen and gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Now you are my friends. So I have the word friends there. Okay, because I have adopted you for this fellowship to share in my glory. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. If you want to share in my glory, you have to follow the design pattern. Now, the word commandment has to do with that which is the ordered activity. So Jesus is saying, my word, my voice is the ordered activity. I'm your captain. Follow my voice. I'm your captain. Follow my voice. Now, I'll put my voice, okay, within my friends. Yeah, I'll put my voice within my friends because they will affirm and confirm this pattern. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So Jesus is saying, I adopted you for fellowship to share my glory. Okay, but the soul must be tamed and trained by my spirit. Those that consent will do this. Okay, those that consent will do this. All those that consented to this plan in the Father's bosom, okay, he is affirming now in the state of the conscience, even during this time of the second, eighth week. God is calling out to those that consented that they will come out from the confusion, the false religious system, and embrace this grace. Embrace this grace. And all those that hear it will do so. Okay, all those that hear it will do so. Okay, all those that you have given me, I have kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Well, where were they first inscribed? In the Father's bosom. Okay, they were inscribed there in the Father's bosom. Okay, and so that which is ascribed in the Father's bosom will be fulfilled in regarding all those which consent to this plan. But the protesters, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's come on to verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See the word do there. The word do. Okay, part of the joy of the Lord is the doing. That's the activity, the mobilization, the experience. Okay, we are experiencing salvation through these gifts. Now look at verse 15. Henceforth, that means by these things you're not slaves to ignorance any longer. Henceforth I call you not servants. Because, why? For the adoption is not in the law of the flesh. Gee whiz keeps the conscience darkened to my voice. Henceforth I call you not servants. And so this form of communication is not to embrace that which is the law of ignorance, but rather the law of grace, which awakens. It awakens. It gives eyes to the soul. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. Okay, so I brought that out earlier. But I have called you my friends. My grace has now opened your souls to light, to my light, for your fellowship. But I have called you friends. And he says here, now notice what Jesus is going to say here next in the next statement. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. All things that I have heard of my Father. Where did he hear these things? That which is ascribed in the Father's heart. Okay, before the foundation of the world. That which is predetermined for our salvation. Okay, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I made known unto you. See, this was predetermined in my Father's bosom for me to share with you now. Okay, you have consented to this. And I have affirmed that I will do this. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I made known unto you. So he's saying here, I am your tether. I am your steward for this witness to be manifested in your conscience. See the word known there. That which I've heard of my Father, I made known unto you. Cite the word known there. That is for this witness to be manifested in your conscience. Now the seed is being awakened. Now you're returning to me. This is what the Lord is doing now in the second eighth week. As he did in the first eighth week, he's now repeating in the second eighth week. Okay, this is a mirror of the first eighth week, the establishment of his kingdom. And not that of the open witness of man, nor does it follow the counsel of the law, but rather is the witness of God, okay, which follows the counsel of his kingdom, that follows the counsel of Christ. He is our counselor. He's called the wonderful counselor, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we can see what he's counseling towards us is this peace, this joining, this transition, this adoption, this seal. All these things he's providing for us. I am made known unto you, because the power accompanies this knowledge, giving witness to the heart. The power accompanies the knowledge, giving witness to the heart. Okay, so now the conscience is being awakened. Now being awakened, you need to be sealed, so that you don't fall back, okay, into that state of the law, the law of derision. Then he goes on here, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Yeah, you should go and bring forth fruit. You have not chosen me. So like the word not chosen me. But I have chosen you. Where? In the Father's bosom. You have not chosen me because ignorance didn't point you to me. Ignorance didn't point you to me. But my power confirms the origin of the seed, okay, for which you can now serve my Father in my priesthood, which issues these virtues for your soul, for your seal, and adoption. My likeness now becomes your likeness. And by this fruit, you shall increase. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Yeah, you should go and bring forth fruit. See the word, the language of the Spirit here. The word chosen and ordained. The Lord is doing the same thing today. Those which affirm this pattern by this witness are the chosen. And those which are the chosen, okay, we see the word called, chosen, and faithful. Okay, so those which are chosen now are applying themselves to the priesthood. They are the faithful, called, chosen, and faithful. You have been elected to seat on his throne. It's like you're being elected president. Okay, you're being elected president. You have been chosen. All the votes of the heavenlies have been put in your favor to be seated on the throne equal to God. Okay, now that is a great election. Okay, that is a great election of this plan. Okay, this is the praise of the glory of his grace. The praise of the glory of his grace. The result of this enlightenment is to seat us on his throne. The crown of all his creation will be seated with him. This is what Jesus says, he that overcomes I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now his throne is not just a lawn chair. It's not a folding chair that you sit on a lawn. Okay, he's not talking about a lawn chair. He's talking about a position of ruling in other dimensions. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. Yeah, you should go and bring forth fruit. So I hide the word fruit there. And this is the likeness which we're reflecting. And that your fruit shall remain. See, likeness unto likeness. Glory unto glory. Virtue unto virtue. Okay, we're talking about reflection. We are looking in a mirror Okay, and when we look in the mirror, okay, we are reflecting the plan. Okay, but those that look in the mirror and walk away will soon forget, okay, what this plan is all about. Okay, those that look in the mirror but then walk away will soon forget. That which you've seen in the mirror grows dim in the understanding. But now we're seeing him as that which is face to face. Through this knowledge, we see him face to face. Okay, so we're reflecting him perfectly because the Father has accepted the sacrifice of the Son. Okay, and the third day I shall be perfected, as Jesus said. This is his fullness, which is now issuing forth to us. Okay, this is that which he ordained for us through the shedding of his blood. And rising from the dead is now sealed towards us and to all those that believe this report. So you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Okay, this election took place within the Father's bosom upon your consent to this plan. Though in ignorance you didn't know this, but these were things which were kept secret as a mystery, okay, since the world began, but is now being manifested unto us in these end times. Because during the time of the tribulation, they shall wonder whose names were not written in Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, in the book of Revelation, you read that. They shall wonder, the sinners shall wonder at that time, whose names were not written in Lamb's Book of Life. We're not pondering that fact because we're living the reality. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, ordained you that you should go and show and bring forth fruit. This is the seal of your adoption. My likeness now becomes your likeness. Okay, this is what Ruth was communicating to Naomi when she was coming out of land of Moab. Okay, my God shall be your God. As she was saying, where you live, I'm going to live. Where you die, I'm going to die. So what Ruth was doing was reflecting that likeness. Your people are my people. A reflection of likeness. Like. Same. It's a mirror. Okay, but that reciprocation of Ruth was that which is spoken in faith, and that's what we're doing. See, and we are following that same point of reciprocation as in a mirror. So you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You know, highlight the word remain there. That which my Father bursts within you will never grow dim if you follow through on the priesthood of my commandments. This sort of activity. These are my judgments which I'm issuing forth to my kingdom. Okay, in my kingdom for my people. Okay, the judgments of the Lord to the righteous are the blessings of Abraham. Okay, which has to do with that. That sign of communication, that sign, dreams and visions, revelations. This is the blessing of Abraham, which we Gentiles are now entering into by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was bringing out in Galatians, that the Gentiles also might be partakers of the inheritance by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? That we also might receive the promise of the Spirit. And we have received the promise of the Spirit. That which the Spirit has engrafted within us is initiating to bring us unto the completion of our journey back to the Father's bosom. Okay, that whatsoever you shall ask. Okay, now we see this communication. It also results in our petitions. Okay, it results in the completion of our petitions here. Okay, and that your faith shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name. You see, it goes right back to there. We shall commune as one house, and I will oversee your hope of joy. That's what he's saying. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, all right, he may give it you. For this has already been approved. Now, what's interesting here, take heed, this has already been pre-approved. Your credit has already been pre-approved. Okay, but now let's see what is he pre-approving? You shall ask my Father my name, he may give it you, for this has already been pre-approved as put in the design of the holy city, New Jerusalem. So let's just jump over there real quickly before we get into our lesson today. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to see that which was pre-approved. This is your credit. Okay, the righteousness of God. Everything that is in relation to this pattern has already been pre-approved for your experience now and for later. Okay, that which when we enter into the reality, okay, when we enter reality, when we enter in through the gates of the holy city to begin the 10th week, it's going to be a time of, you see, a great time of joy, the Father's joy. The father's joy is like somebody coming home and they're walking through the front door. Okay, somebody's been absent for a long time and they're coming home. You see these on commercials all the time. Okay, like coffee commercials, an example, coffee commercials. They're here, they smell the brewing of the coffee and it's real early in the morning. They kind of wonder, why am I smelling the coffee brewing? They get up and they see somebody downstairs that they haven't seen for years. Okay, somebody just came in the door there for like a holiday. And there's joy over a cup of coffee. I'm not promoting any kind of brand of coffee, by the way. What I'm promoting here at this point is the understanding of the Father's joy. Okay, now we won't be standing around on the streets of gold holding a cup of coffee saying, yeah, it's been a long time, glad to see you, kind of like thing. Okay, but the Father's joy has to do with the completion of when he says it is done to that which is now a new beginning, the 10th week. Okay, when we enter into the Father's bosom to begin this plan, this is the day of great jubilation to our Father, because that which is predetermined is now coming to its full cycle of completion. Okay, we have returned to Him. We have returned to Him right now in the powers, okay, and we return to Him in reality of physical form. So, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The 10th week begins. For the first heaven and first earth, okay, not the second or third earth, but the first heaven and first earth were passed away. Okay, that which was in the dimension of these waters is no longer necessary for the point of proving. Okay, no longer necessary for the point of proving. Okay, that has already been completed. Okay, the great white throne judgment has already happened. Okay, at this time, okay, what the Apostle John is witnessing right here. So what the Apostle John is witnessing right here, the Spirit will bring back to our mind. It'll be a deja vu. Okay, what John the Apostle, the chief elder and apostle John, what he wrote here is going to be a deja vu for us upon the entrance of our Father's bosom. When we enter into those gates, it's going to be a time of great jubilation. So the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there should be no more sea or sea of water separation as a crystal sea. And that is a crystalline ice. Okay, as a holy city now is here on earth. Okay, there's no more separation. The dimensions are one now, not two. The Father's name is one now, not two. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. That's out of the throne now, through the door and through that vortex from God out of heaven. That's exactly what Jesus said. I came out from God and come into the world. So Jesus was providing a pattern so that when this holy city will follow that divine pattern. A New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is a mate to build his house, and that's what we're going to do. We have been prepared with all the DNA necessary for the purpose of this propagation. Okay, as a sperm and the egg. Okay, we're going to enter back into the Father's bosom, into His heart, and we'll be carrying with us the design, or the gender. We'll be carrying with us with that gender, which is Jesus Christ. See, we bear right now in us the testimony of Christ in this fruit. This is our joy. Okay, and when joy meets joy, there's great jubilation to the second power. Okay, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Okay, so we can see that God put the parable within the gender, okay, of Adam and Eve. He put the parable within the gender of Adam and Eve, and now it's being completed in Himself. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Okay, so he says, behold right here. He says, observe with great admiration, John, the house of God, the house of fire, okay, is no more in the dimensions of the waters, and the dimensions of the waters no more separate us. He is now put within this dimension of one house, one name. So I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He, God, shall dwell with them. That means He will bond together with them through Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus being the name of the flesh of the waters, and Christ being the name of that which is of the spirit of the fires, are now put together through this mediation and sanctified by His blood. Sanctified by His blood. Now He has been engrafted in us for the purpose of this adoption. Okay, so I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, now I'm in Revelation chapter 21 to those that are just joining us, but then we'll be starting here in a moment in Colossians. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. There's no longer a separation of the waters, and He, God, will dwell with them, and this is the bonding. Okay, and they shall be His people, that is the inheritance.
the inheritance of his joy, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Okay, that is in the Father's bosom of the crystal sea, which is now in this dimension. Now, the Apostle John giving witness to this, this again will be a deja vu for our experience as we enter into it. It's like a rerun. It's like a rerun. When you see a movie once, you're just kind of beginning to comprehend a little bit what's being spoken and what's going on. What the Apostle John sees and what we experience is going to be like a rerun. Hey, it's like we've been here before, haven't we? That's the way it's going to feel. Hey, we've been here before, haven't we? And the Lord's just going to give you a big smile and says, "That's right, you were here before. Okay, before you were put into a vessel of flesh to be tested." You came through this city. Okay? And so the Apostle John is describing it for us. So I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and they shall be and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So I had the word "wipe away all tears from their eyes." He's talking about, he's going to circumcise all the scars of death and the memory of loss. All the scars of death and memory of loss. Hey, everything that you face down here of your contradiction, hey, will be forgotten. The scars which are put within you, everyone that's born in this dimension of waters, put in the vessel of flesh, will experience abuse, no matter who you are. All of us were abused in one manner or another, simply because that which was of our signature was not in rhythm with that which was of the superior. Okay, your signature was different than that which is of your parents. Of course, God designed it that way. Your signature was different. Okay, so the contradiction was put there even from your birth. So there was abuse. There was abuse and misuse, because that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of the flesh. That's the kingdom of darkness. That's the kingdom of ignorance. And all of us are victims. So no matter what race you are, or what nation you're of, all of us faced it in one form or another, to one extreme or to the other. Okay, all of us faced it. So that's what he says right here. Okay, he says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Okay, that includes everybody. The memory of these scars will be lost. Okay, but the presence of them in the soul is necessary for the contradiction. That's why the Lord has allowed it now. See, the Lord has allowed it for the slow process of the work of regeneration, that the Comforter will continue to put within you this witness and continue to draw faith from your heart. And by this witness, by this power, we continually return to our Lord. See, we continually return to him. Okay, through this witness, we continually return to him. "Return unto me, my people." The Lord is always saying that. "Return to me, my people." So because our Father designed this dimension for the purpose of the contradiction, as Jesus also experienced, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the contradiction. Okay, for the joy that was set before him. Despising the shame, regardless of Satan's tokens and regardless of the standards of the sinner, Jesus continued faithfully to fulfill that record. So in all points, he was tempted to make as we are. He faced a contradiction. He faced his abuses. We do the same thing. We face a contradiction. We face the abuses. Okay? Because the Lord will sustain you. Okay? And of course, we read about that in John. The joy. I heard, and he says here, "So I heard a great voice," in verse 4, and "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, because these contradictions shall exist no longer, for the breach is gone." The breach. What breach was that? The waters. The waters were the breach. Death ruled in the kingdom of darkness, because the earth is the lowest of the heavens and the darkest of the heavens. Okay, and death reigned in the ignorance of man. Okay, the protesters, Satan ruled in the perception of the protester, okay, that they will continue to live out their whole life in ignorance and die in their sin. But regardless of the populations of the world being ignorant, it was out of them God called a remnant. "A remnant shall be saved." Okay, those which consented shall be as the remnant. They will be the minority. They will be in the minority. Because the protesters were used the numbers of their kind in order to lend weight or to confirm their ignorance. And they have done that today. All right, let's go on. "So God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Okay, there should be no more death. No more breaches would be there. No more change. No more separation. No more ripping of the soul. No more ripping of the soul. Because the presence of death, in order for your soul to leave the body, there's a crying out. There's a crying out. There was a weeping upon the joining. There's a crying upon the ripping. Okay, as you're departing from this world. It's like cutting a live hose. If there's water going through your hose and your car runs over it and cuts it, where it breaks, the water begins to spurt all over the place. Okay, it just starts to, the hose starts to flip all over. And that's the same thing upon the ripping of the soul. There should be no more crying. Okay, no more loss, no more change. Okay, because we are in the unchangeable one, Jesus Christ. Okay, and we being in him, we'll see death no longer. No more Satan, no more death, no more pain. No sorrow, no crying, neither should be any more pain. No more curse of this time. Time itself is a pain. The passing of time dictates to you that you're getting older. Okay, and as you're getting older, your body is going through the transformation of death. Okay, there's loss taking place. Your body is being prepared to die. That's what's taking place. Your body is being prepared to die. So neither, but that won't happen any longer. That's what he says here. Neither should be any more pain. For the former things, I like the word former things, that means the lower waters, the enemy of sin. The enemy of being sin. Okay, the lower waters. The former things, which is the lower, the waters of this dimension, which were enemies. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, "My Lord, set my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Okay, your enemies your footstool, which means that the dimensions of these waters now become one. Okay, being sanctified by Jesus' sacrifice, we now become one with the Father, and the Father now joins himself to this dimension by putting the bride or the mother of us all into this dimension. That's to carry on the tradition, to carry on the tradition to build a house. For the former things are passed away in these waters, because they were the enemies that are now his footstool, and God has now entered into his rest. That's his joy. The Father has now entered into his rest. Okay, let's stop right there, and let's go now to the book of Colossians. Okay, to the book of Colossians here, and we're going to pick up Colossians chapter 1. All right, let's start with verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in the flesh, for my body's sake, which is the church," or "for his body's sake, which is the church." That's what we were just talking about. Okay, in John 15 and Revelation 21, the Apostle Paul is expounding on that. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you." See the word sufferings there? Okay, now we just read Revelation. There shall be no more suffering or pain. Okay, but now we see that it's necessary for the purpose. This contradiction forces you to seek the Lord and forces you to cooperate. So it tames and trains. It tames and trains. Same thing with taking a wild animal. You take into your house a wild animal, a wild cat. As you feed the cat now becomes trusting of your behavior, okay, that you're not going to do injury to it. I remember that taking place when a wild kitten, okay, decided to make our home his residence. Okay, and this was a wild kitten. It was birthed in a wild, and it did not trust humans. Okay, so I was putting food on the porch for the little kitten there, because when I saw the kitten prior to that, his little belly was really large, okay, when he was starving, okay, and it was really large there, and so I put some nibbles out there for him, and then I put a little box out there, and okay, and about a couple weeks passed, okay, and then one day I left the door open, and the kitten came into the house, and when it came in the house, it wedged itself in a corner, was hissing and spitting at me, you know, because it felt that its way out that door was being blocked. So I left the door open and I just walked away. Okay? And then the kitten came back in. And of course the kitten, I started putting the food in there, and the kitten became the house pet. Okay? And became a house pet and wanted to go to the bathroom on my couches. Now I had to train it. I had to tame it. I had to train it. This is what the Lord does with us. Okay? The Lord does the same thing with us. Okay? In our ignorance, we hiss and spit at him. Okay? We don't understand what's taking place. Hey, why do I feel this way? Why are these things happening in me? Okay, the conscience is now, the darkness that was in a conscience is being broken open. Okay, and that kingdom, the kingdom of Satan put within that conscience, to say the conscience is crumbling. We feel the pain. Okay, so we kind of, this is our reaction at first. We become adversarial, okay, within this. And the Lord says, trust me. Okay, I love you. Okay, I'm going to give you dreams. I'm going to give you visions. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to give you some dibbles one point at a time for you to take confidence that I'm not going to step on you or trap you or do you injury. Okay, so the Lord begins to tame us. And then he begins to house train us. No, you can't urinate on the carpet. So you pick the animal up and you begin to train them. You put it like a litter box in there, okay? Or if it's a puppy, you know, you start to do the house train them. And you can't do that any longer. And then the animal begins to reciprocate. The animal begins to learn certain behaviors. It begins to reciprocate that. And then the animal becomes a joy to you. Of course, if it doesn't, then you kick it out of the house. But what you're going to do is that you want to take pleasure within this little creature. Okay? The creature is really completely ignorant of your intention. But all they know is that they feel safe. They're getting fed. Now they can sleep in a place there that they're not going to feel threatened. Okay? But of course, we're not talking about adopting a pet today. We're talking about us concerning our adoption. So here he talks about who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. So I accept these terms and conditions of his circumcising the aspirations to give way for him, following his example. So he says here, to fill up that which is behind. Okay, not losing sight of why he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and as to remove the stain of sin, of course, which is no honor to man. So to fill up that which is behind afflictions of Christ. Okay, to fill up that which is behind, he's talking about to give way. We are following in his steps. To fill up that which is behind. We are following in his steps. The exactitude is manifested in this likeness. Okay, it's like a product coming off the assembly line. The product that comes off the assembly line bears the likeness of its former, that which preceded it. Okay? And we're following up. This is what Paul's talking about. I am proceeding in the likeness of Christ. Okay, I am following him. Okay, and by following him, I also endure for your sake this contradiction. If I endure it, you endure it. If I take the light in it, you take the light in it. So he goes on here, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you to fill up that which is behind. Okay, but not losing sight. Okay, that is the afflictions of Christ. That's to remove the stain of sin in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Okay, now if the Apostle Paul did that for that first century, this is what's unfolding today. The same thing is happening today. Okay, that which I'm following that pillar of fire. Okay, as Moses and the children of Israel followed the pillar of fire. But Moses made known to the children of Israel what that meant. And this is what I'm doing through my stewardship, helping you to understand what the anointing means. Okay, as we continue to follow Christ, as the children of Israel follow that pillar of fire. Now verse 25, wherefore I made a minister. Okay, wherefore, as Paul says here, now you can hide the word I there, my stewardship reflects this. Reflects this for your faith. Because the priesthood is being understood here. My stewardship and his priesthood is being understood by the church for his body's sake. Where have I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, as God appointed me at this time? Okay, as God appointed Paul there and the other elders and apostles as being stewards of this grace. Same thing he's doing today. Okay, God is making distinction for the righteous so that by this discernment, you can see those who love God and those who do not love God. But there were those in a false religious system 20 years ago that could conceal themselves in all kinds of scriptural sincerity. They would smear themselves with all kinds of scriptural sincerity in order to escape notice. Okay, like a hunter putting skunk scent upon them in order to escape the smell of their prey. And Satan tried, as an example, Satan tried to mix that which is the anointing oil, the smeared on his servants of unrighteousness, so that they would escape the smell of their prey, the victims or the consenters. Okay? But now, having been born of the Spirit, okay, now having gone through the process of the priesthood, now having this understanding laid within your heart, you're able to distinguish between the children of light and the children of darkness. Okay, the anointing is teaching you these things. And it is truth and is no lie. It is truth because it's consistent with his character, purpose, and plan. It is no lie because it not stand nor is it rhythm or harmony with the signature of man. So you have now, your eyes are open. You can see between those who serve him and those who do not serve him. Okay, in this time. Now, the wicked are offended by that because we know those whose names are written in the book of life. How do we know? Because they fellowship with us. This is what the Apostle John was bringing out. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that by being made manifest, they are not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. See why the Apostle Paul says that, or John says that, Apostle John said that. We're able by this pattern to discern those who do serve the Lord and those who do not serve him. The hypocrite is manifested. As Jesus said, if I had not come, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for the sin. They cannot smear their oil on them to escape the nose of their victim. We can smell them out now, which before, okay, we stood rather baffled and confused. Is this of God or is this not of God? How do I know? And we would run to the scriptures for validation of what we were suspicious of, okay, but we could not come to any conclusion. It escaped. I remember Marie and I, when we lived in California in the 1970s, okay, we were going to this particular church, and I was a deacon in a church there, and we would walk home from church, and we would look at each other and says, what's missing? There's something that's missing there. In other words, it smells like the Lord, but we didn't know that we were victims of ministers of unrighteousness as they were introducing doctrines, not the doctrines of Christ, but the doctrines of men. And observing the things of that first covenant, not of the things of the second covenant. Observing Moses and not the record of Christ. So it smells like the Lord. What's missing? What was it? And now I know. Yeah, I know now. Okay, but I didn't know then. Because I was trying to discern things from the position of ignorance. Until the Lord called me out and separated me. And by this anointing, he's now given me the eyes to see, the key. He's giving me the eyes to see and this key now, see, for which now you're benefiting to escape the wrath to come. So whereof, Paul says in verse 25, I was made a minister, according to the disposition of God, which has to do with at this time appointed, which God has given to me, that is to me the stewardship, to fulfill the word of God. So I hate the word fulfill there. Okay, the word fulfill, to be joined totally to him. So I hate the word fulfill and put the words to be joined totally to him. We are joined totally to him through these tokens. See this? Okay, without these tokens, we are in a canoe without a paddle. We're being taken by the current, and of course, being taken in the current is very dangerous, okay, because the paddling keeps you in the control of the direction and the speed of the canoe. So these tokens are provided for us to tame and to train us. How to be in harmony with him and not to injure ourselves, okay, nor others. Okay, not to injure ourselves, nor to injure others. So where have I, Paul, Paul's talking here, and made a minister, okay, this is a true service, okay, the stewardship which reflects this now is a true service according to the dispensation of God, that which is of the fire, which governs us, this fire charity, which is given to me in the, for exchange and fellowship for you, the brethren now, this is to bring completion to your understanding, to fulfill the word of God, which has to, again, to be joined totally to him in his divine fullness. And this is your knowledge, and this holy knowledge is your baptism. This is the baptism of fire. This holy knowledge is your baptism, which is continually cleansing you, purging you, who cleanses us and purges us. He's preparing us for our return, our physical return to him. Even the mystery, verse 26. Even the mystery. I mean, the knowledge of this baptism, which is now sprinkled upon you for the services, even this mystery, even that which is seven thunders uttered, which we read about in the book of Revelation, when the seven thunders utter the voices, this mystery should be finished. He's talking about this mystery here. Okay, neither repented they. Okay, neither repented they. It says it right there in Revelation. We already know what their decision is going to be, even after the conscience has been opened. There's going to be a clarity in the mind of the sinner, which they never had prior to that. And when the time of that clarity passes, they are now guilty of blood And that's where, the second part of the tribulation begins, with that blood. Okay, so even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, those patriarchs which were before us, those which before us, okay, didn't understand why they were positioned in certain conflicts of life, as Abraham brought into Egypt and then went to Abimelech. Abraham did not know and understand why, God, are you communicating to me, and then you put me in such a state of conflict. My wife has been taken from me by Pharaoh. And then that was in Egypt. And then also with Abimelech, when Abimelech reproached us, he reproached Abraham when he took his wife. Okay? So we can see the patriarchs did not understand the events which they were facing. What was the mystery of these things? They wondered about that. The many righteous and wise men desire to hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. It was not made known to them why. It is now revealed to us now by the Holy Ghost why these things happened. God inscribed the parable within them, which pointed to His Christ and the work of our redemption, okay, which those of the former time greatly desired and spoke about the grace which would be given unto us. And His grace is being poured out upon us in great quantities. In great quantities, as He's unfolding these mysteries inscribed since the beginning of the world, for now, for our benefit, which is now read and known of all men. See? Those which walk by faith can read it. We can read it. The sinners can't see it, but we can read it. Okay, well, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest and unfolded to us, that is to His saints, that is for this experience of hope. Okay, it's unfolding in our experience of hope now. This is the hope of the promise. This is the goal of the Spirit. This is the laboring of the Comforter. Okay? He which is working within us, which Jesus spoke about, I'm with you, but then I shall be in you. This is that which Jesus spoke about when He says, I'm going to come, but in another form, and I'm going to be in you for the purpose of this redemption, for this adoption, to whom God would make known. Whoa, look at that, verse 27. Okay, that is what's being made known to us. Something is going to be fully realized. God is now restoring to His church, to His people, to those which consented. He's restoring to us this knowledge for our joy that we can endure the greatest time of history, of the world, called the end times, which we're living in. The contradiction is twofold more than it was in the beginning. It's twofold more now than it was beginning, okay? Because iniquity shall be twofold, as the prophet said, in this time that we're living in now. And it is twofold, that the availability, that the technology and the exposure is greater now than it was 2,000 years ago. So the grace of God is increasing towards us, even the greater works, of the Spirit, and these end times is greater than that, which was in the former times, okay, of the first eighth week, okay, because of the exposure and the twofold presence of sin, until the crown of sin Himself is manifested, the beast, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, its total value, and the tokens in these gifts which produce the substance of the heart, though as invisible now will be fully manifested in the Father's bosom. But that which is now inscribed in our heart is not that which is of Moses, but that which is of Christ. The glory of this mystery he's talking about. The glory of this mystery. Okay, the substance. The substance, these gifts, the seed which he's implanting within us because of the state of the conscious. The conscious now being purified by faith in him. Okay, as the scriptures say, now being justified by grace, we are made heirs according to the hope of this promise. That is, this grace. Okay, these things, as Paul talks about, these things, okay, making known, fully realized by this witness. Okay, we're experiencing something, okay, that even 40 years ago the church didn't experience. They were still floundering 40 years ago. They're still floundering today. Okay, but what's unfolding today is a great miracle concerning that God is calling out. He's calling out into the depths of darkness for the protesters to come out of that false religious system. Come out from among them and be separate. That's what Paul said in Corinthians, and that's what we're that's what we see also in the book of Revelation, and where this is what we're saying and seeing today. We are informing them. You're making known to thousands of people, millions of people. Okay, let's go on here. So these things were hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. That is unfolding to us now through the stewardship, to whom God will make known. So hide the word known there, verse 27, and get your sacrifices ready. So the witness is accompanying the knowledge concerning the opening of the conscience. Okay, what is the riches, the total value of these things, the glory, all these tokens is producing substance within a heart called fruit. So herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Now you want to glorify the Father, that means you want to add substance to his house? Okay, then you have to bear the likeness within you. If you want to bear the likeness within you, then you have to function within your priesthood. If you want to function in your priesthood, you have to be in observation of all the terms of this covenant, which includes the government, the truth, and the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God. See, these elements and the force of them, the force or the power of them. Okay, because it's by these things that we are strengthened with all might, by his power. We are sustained by this staff. The revelation and grace of God is a staff which you're leaning on, which will not pierce your hand. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Hey, that's us, those which consented among the Gentiles. Okay, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That which is invisible, the invisible token of fire. Because he's the vehicle that is going to bring us into the Father's bosom, and his virtue in us seals this hope. His virtue in us seals this hope. So highlight the word, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, this is the true hope which our Father continually affirms towards us. This is the blessing of Abraham. A lot of people talk about the blessing of Abraham as being the physical tokens or the honor of the world. Points of progress. Okay, points of progress of the world. Okay, the points of progress of the world are not the blessings of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham, when the Lord spoke to him, the blessing of Abraham had to do with the communication that we receive, the sign of communication. My sign upon you is this blessing of Abraham. What is the sign upon the righteous? Okay, the sign upon the righteous has to do with the crown of this knowledge, the anointing. The crown of this knowledge and this anointing is a sign or the blessing of Abraham, which will pass on to the Gentiles that believe this report. Okay, who has believed the report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Because it's not seen with the eye, nor understood with the ear, but is perceived by faith in the heart. So who has believed the report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is a stewardship. And to whom is the stewardship revealed in this report? Well, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He will be one of my garden. He will be a planting of my garden, and he will be a root that will not be seen. All right, something that's concealed in the earth will not be seen by the eye, but will spring up in a desolate place. As a hyssop springs into the wall, the righteous also spring forth in the earth. We are as plants of the heavenly garden. We are as plants in the heavenly garden. The planting of the Lord. The righteous are the planting of the Lord. So let's go on here. The hope of glory. Because he's the vehicle that's going to bring us into the reality of this fullness. To whom we preach, verse 28. Whom we, the stewardship, gave the stewardship of the government of God, whom we preach, warning every man. He said, hide the word warning. This is a form of exhortation of continuance. Hey, this is an exhortation of continuance, warning every man. Again, we come back to that which brought out earlier about the taming and the training. Okay, where God is taming a wild beast. Our soul in ignorance is like a wild beast. But God gives us tokens of grace in order to tame us. And then he communicates to us through the knowledge, through instruction. And he trains us, okay, how to behave in the house of God. Okay, the house of God as being a pillar in the ground of the truth. The pillar in the ground of the truth. The pillar represents the stewardship. The stewardship for which this truth springs from is that very foundation which we give you. Whom we preach, warning every man. Okay, that means now we're sending forth a contrast for their discernment. Whom we preach. Okay, we, being the stewards, preach Christ, warning every man and teaching every man. So this is now to direct you how to be joined to him through this priesthood. beside the word wisdom there. Wisdom. The covenant gives us wisdom. Those in a false religious system lack wisdom. They're trying to serve God by commentaries of man. You can't do that. All a commentary is an expounding of a perception using scripture. That's all commentary is. That's not the covenant. Okay? Now, the wisdom of God teaches us covenant. The wisdom of God always directs us in the form of an activity. But our form of activity must be ordered by the Spirit. Now, that's where understanding comes in. The instruction of this knowledge is to give the understanding of how to behave in a house of God. Okay, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, as Paul says right here. So I like the word wisdom there. So wisdom gives us direction that we may present every man, that we, the calling of the stewardship, may present every man by the cleansing now, present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you word Christ Jesus? We're talking about the priesthood. By which priesthood we feast on his word for completion in the God code of our soul. The driving force of the soul is now being fed by this knowledge, which before it was fed by the knowledge of the world. The knowledge of the world doesn't possess the nourishment of the anointing. So it works death. The knowledge of the world doesn't possess the nourishment of the anointing. So therefore it works death. But the knowledge of God possesses the anointing, which works life. That means it gives health. It's health to the body of Christ. So hide the word Christ Jesus, because we're talking about here concerning your priesthood, the activity of your priesthood, which was pointed out to you through this stewardship. So the true stewardship points us out by the anointing, as also the prophet Isaiah brings out. When he says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's talking about what? Releasing the prisoners from the bondage and to bring healing to the heart. This is what this stewardship is doing. Through the priesthood, you're being released from the bondage of your ignorance, and God is healing your heart. To those which are patient in your cycles of growth, he is healing by his tokens, by his gifts. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man all wisdom. So we're highlighting the word warning there. Now the warning to the righteous is in truth. But when you warn the wicked, they take offense. Because truth to the wicked is offensive to them, because they have already established their own perception. The law of the principle, which is their own perception, they have already established that in their doctrinal persuasion as being truth. That's a false truth. That's a lie. The record of man is a lie. As the scripture says, all men are liars. Now he's not talking about the gender, but he's talking about that which is the flesh. The flesh bears the record of man. The flesh bears the record of man. The record of man is a lie. It's a lie because it's not walking in harmony with God. It's walking in contradiction to God. The record of man walks in harmony with itself. It's a lover of self. And they shall be lovers of themselves, as Paul said. They shall be lovers of themselves. Proud. Whisperers. Backbiters. Unholy. Unthankful. Traitors. Heady and high-minded. These are people who are true to themselves. That's the hypocrite. A hypocrite is a person that's true to themselves. But we are true to Christ. So we're not the hypocrite. We are true to the design of God, which makes us of his likeness. Are you going to call God a hypocrite? No. Nobody, of course, except a fool, will call God a hypocrite. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor. So I have the word labor there. See the word labor. Now, substitutionism removes the force of labor. Propitiation puts you into the current of labor. It's in the current of labor that you get strength. But in the perception of substitutionism, it puts the soul to sleep. Substitutionism puts the soul to sleep. That's why we preach against substitutionism. Substitutionism removes the labor of faith and puts you into a state or a trance of ignorance. And those which are the believers, which are embracing substitutionism, will fight against propitiation. They'll fight against propitiation saying, I can't work out my salvation. I have no works. See, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. They'll say that. The scripture is true, what they're quoting, but the application is an error of their perception. You see how Satan twisted that. So we preach propitiation, as the Bible only says propitiation, by the way, the King James Version. only brings out the word propitiation, which has to do with the laboring of the gifts. The laboring of the gifts. The laboring of the gifts, because these gifts were provided for us to each member to profit by. Okay, to each member to profit by. Okay, so whereunto I also labor. Striving. See the word striving there. Now that's the positive striving, not the negative striving. Okay, we strive against sin. That's positive. Okay, but when you strive against righteousness, that's a negative. Okay, the wicked strive against righteousness by trying to retain the law of their principle and the force of the aspiration, the goals of their aspiration of life. They strive against the righteousness of God. But we strive against the unrighteousness of the false religious system by laboring with the tokens of his propitiation according to his working. Now that's the work of regeneration, see? Now, when you talk about regeneration, it's something that's beyond that which is of the scholastic kingdom. The wisdom of man is the scholastic kingdom. The wisdom of man is the scholastic kingdom. The work of regeneration is beyond their experience, so that's why they don't talk about it. They don't understand it. When you say the word covenant, their understanding has to do with that which is with just putting it back in the past. They put it back in the past in a substitutionism. Okay, when we use the word covenant, we're talking about a present activity based upon the foundation of the past. Yes. Okay, but they removed everything from the laboring, okay, of the tokens into that which is just a profession that's void of any life. So therefore, they're preaching the word of Christ in vain. They're preaching the word of Christ in vain. Okay, let's finish up. Whereunto I also labor, striving. I'm pushing forward with this knowledge according to the work of regeneration here, according to his working. Okay, which works. See the word here now, works. See, I'm working, he's working. I'm working, he's working. Likeness unto likeness. Glory unto glory. Whereunto I labor, according to his working, I work. Okay, what he issues is what I labor with. Whereunto I also labor according to his working, which works in me mightily. That means unfolding these things for our communion with the Father. So, he's unfolding these things for us. The Spirit is unfolding these things for us through the work of regeneration for our relationship and our fellowship with the Father. We are his friends. We are communicating with him on the level of substance, not on the level of the imagination. The level of the imagination will only offend our Father. But the level of our substance of faith honors him, because the scripture says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that is according to the terms of the covenant, that he is a rewarder, which we read about here, of them that diligently seek him. Okay? Because faith is a substance of things hoped for. It bursts within you. The grace of God being present, we labor now with that revelation for the purpose of this expression of charity. Okay, so we see grace, faith, and charity. Okay, this is what we'll be doing here just in a moment, exercising our will with this knowledge to please our Father which is in heaven. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.